Are you alive? Sure, you say, you can see me, I'm sitting right here. The people came to Jesus with all the questions that they had. And every time he tried to give them an answer, he ran into the same problem. They identified their entire lives with their physical life. He said, there is more than just your physical life. There is your spiritual life. Now answer the question, are you alive? Because it means that we approach things in a much different way. Our first reading tells the story of Job, a good man, an honorable person, who suffered difficulty after difficulty after difficulty in his life. He lost family, he lost his farm, he lost everything he had. And his friends say to them, why do you believe in God? Job believed beyond the physical possession of things that there was a reality of God's presence that he had. And they wanted him to reduce it all to physical life. If you can't see it, if it's not in front of you, it's gone. You've lost it. We believe, as followers of Christ, that that's not true. Our loved one can experience a physical death where their bodies are no longer alive, but we believe their spirit is alive. So Jesus continuously challenged the people with that question. He's not the only one. Shakespeare writes, cowards die many times before their deaths. The valiant never taste of death but once. Of all the wonders yet that I have seen, it seems to me most strange that men should fear seeing that death, a necessary end, will come when it will come. You and I, as we read the gospel today and hear that Jesus helped Peter's mother-in-law rise up, can get caught in believing that what's important about that story is how long she physically lived. How long Lazarus physically lived. But there's much more at the heart of this story, my brothers and sisters, that challenges us. You see, always in our lives, as we face conflict and difficulty, there will be that temptation to be afraid of our physical deaths. To be afraid that there's judgment to follow and possibly condemnation. And Christ comes and says clearly to those who will hear him, that's just not the way it is. He says, in fact, you can experience eternal life now. And then when your physical body dies, you transition to being alive spiritually. You can do that by uniting yourself to God's love, having there be nothing that stands between you and God. But we've got so much stuff that stands between us and God. Our plans, our possessions, the people in our lives, all the things we concentrate on, all the distractions we have that we get afraid of losing if we get physically sick. And then we lose sight that we have a spiritual life, a life that's much more important. And we should be building up treasures in heaven for our spiritual life. And that means all those battles we want to fight, they're not important. Being at peace is important. Wanting peace more than anything is important. We say that with our words, but our actions are always looking for the next argument, the next disagreement, the next opportunity for us to win. And we tell ourselves that those winning moments, even if they mean putting down other people, are so essential that they contribute to our happiness, when really They are servants of the evil one. The evil one tempts us into believing all there is this life and what goes on in this life. And whatever we accumulate in this life becomes what helps us to merit eternal life. Christ says it's not true. Nothing you do in this life earns you eternal life. God's love gives you eternal life. Not your accomplishments, not your successes. We don't have to keep on competing and comparing with one another. We have to be able to surrender into the love that's so complete that God wants us with Him for all eternity. And let our spiritual beings come alive. This coming week, you will find moment after moment where you are concentrating on only this life instead of your spiritual life and eternal life. And those become opportunities to refocus yourself, to say to yourself, I believe in a God who has given me the gift of eternal life. He chooses that for me because He loves me. Why would I put anything else before that? Why would anything else become more important than that? After Mass, there's a baptism. And we ask the parents, at the time when they're celebrating a child, are you happy with this gift? And can you imagine that moment where you see eternal life shine on the gift of your child? You ask people when they have a baby, what would you like? They can make a laundry list of things they need and want. And if you say to them, what are you doing to bring eternal life to your child? How do we answer that? Say a prayer? Or do we come to see that it means that we need to believe so completely in love that we surrender to it? What a gift that is. Are you alive? Are you spiritually alive? Not do you practice religion, are you alive in a relationship with Christ? Do you know He loves you? Can you give up worrying about and being afraid of death, physical death, being afraid of judgment, and allow yourself to believe completely in a God who loves you so immensely that He wants only your happiness, and then you begin to want your happiness, and you begin to want the happiness of those around you. And then we share in a new life, a life in Christ. We come to celebrate that in this liturgy, to have communion with God and with one another, to believe in the spiritual life that unites us. These are great gifts, my brothers and sisters. Let our hearts be filled with gratitude.